these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 18. And while you are turning there, we're going to briefly touch on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 17, it says very simply, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Sit right there. Pray without ceasing. The word pray there is a present middle deponent imperative. Being an imperative means that we are commanded to do this. The fact that it's present, and this is the real key part to it, that it's present tense. That means that it is an action that is continuous. And it will not end in any prescribed time, but it has a definite beginning, versus the aorist that does not have a definite beginning. But in the present tense, there is a beginning, something happens, you continue an action, and you keep on in that action. And this is what he's talking about. Continually pray. Keep on praying. And he says, without ceasing. Ceasing there is a adverb. And it's talking about permanently pray. Let there be no intermission in your prayer. And so he says, endlessly, ceaselessly pray. And the middle deponent is really how I am able to continue this. Middle deponent is an interesting form. Because it's a deponent, so it has a middle structure or a passive structure. And in this case, it's a middle structure. But it has an active meaning. And so, in an active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb. In a middle deponent having an active meaning, the subject produces the action of the verb. What I find interesting, at least for application, in the middle deponent form, is that middle voice is where subject produces the action of the verb and receives its benefit. Now, it says, pray without ceasing in the present tense. What it's telling us is, pray and continue praying even though you have not yet received the benefit of the action, or that is to say, the answer to the prayer. But still, continue praying. Never stop praying. This is a command. Continue to pray and never stop praying. Now, this is not something that you have done indefinitely in the past. This is something that came up in your life. Maybe it was a need. You started praying and you kept praying and you did not cease to pray until you have received the answer to that prayer. But you never stop praying. If you stop praying, then are you praying at all? That's my question. You see, sometimes we have this mentality of, well, I don't really want to bother God. No, bother God. He wants to be bothered. You're not bothering God. How are you going to bother God? He lives inside of you. How are you going to bother God? Pray endlessly. Pray without stopping until you get the answer to your prayer. And when you get the answer to your prayer, I will guarantee you God brings something new to pray for. And then pray without ceasing again. So when there is something on your heart to pray for, pray and never stop praying. Sometimes people don't want the answer to become the focus. And this is a good desire. We don't want the answer to become our focus. And so they say, well, I will pray once and then I'll stop praying altogether, so that I don't focus on it. This is not a biblical approach. If you don't want to focus on the desire of your prayer, on the outcome of your prayer, and you want to keep your concentration on Christ, great, fine. But do it in the right way. You don't forsake prayer just to keep your focus. You learn how to think correctly, and you discipline your mind, And that way you will keep your focus. But you will still keep praying without stopping, without ceasing. When there is something in our lives that needs prayer, and usually that is something in the form of supplication, we're praying for ourselves, or something in the form of intercession, we're praying for somebody else, then pray and never stop praying. Here it's specifically talking about supplication. For the needs of your life, for the desires of your life, for the promises of your life, you never stop praying. You pray until you receive what God had put in your heart to pray for. Don't stop until it comes. Don't stop until it comes. Never stop praying until you receive the outcome that you've desired. You see, this thing about praying without ceasing, one of the reasons why God allows that is really to test what our anticipation is from God. In other words, if I believe that God is able and I believe that God is willing, then I'm going to continue asking Him until He gives me what I desire. But if I stop asking, then number one, the question is, do I really desire that which I had asked for? Because He will give me the desires of my heart, not the things that I don't desire. The Word of God says that He gives us the desires of our heart. If I pray in such a way that I am willing to quit praying, was it ever a desire truly of my heart? Or was it a passing whim? And I think in some cases, sometimes, it's simply a passing whim rather than a pure desire of the heart. If it's a desire of the heart, I'm not going to stop asking for that. The second thing is, it really does reflect on that whether I trust God to bring the answer. Maybe it has been a while since I have been praying and the answer has not been forthcoming yet. Do I trust God that He will still, despite the time consideration, bring in my answer? Well, it's like Pastor Stevens once said, never offend God with your time considerations. If God has not brought the answer to your prayer, then continue to pray. People will sometimes say, well, if God hasn't brought it yet, then it's obviously not His will. My question is, how can you say such a thing unless you are God Himself? Now, if you are praying for something that is plainly contrary to His Word, then maybe you're right. But if you are praying for a need or something God has put in your heart, or you're interceding on somebody else's behalf, then you continue to pray. Because everything about the Word of God says that yes, He is in fact willing and able to give you what you have desired of Him. The question is, will you pray? Now the Word of God says that when we pray believing, without doubting in our heart, then we will receive the answer to our petitions. Now, how is doubting in our heart going to be reflected? Well, it's reflected because I stopped praying. You see, if I have the faith to ask in Matthew 7:7-8, then I do have the faith to receive. That's not doubting. Doubting is when I don't ask. I ask and I stop. And in this, I may lose the answer to the prayer. Because in fact, I had no expectation, or at least not enough expectation of God, not knowing His character, to continue in the prayer. It's like somebody who's running a race and they stop believing that they can win. And so they quit the race. Similar kind of a thing. I have something that I desire from God and I'm praying for that thing. If I quit praying, it's because I didn't believe that God would answer if I prayed. I remember when I was a young believer, I wasn't saved too long, I didn't like to pray. I thought prayer was a chore. And so I said in my heart to God, completely off the cuff, I was driving in the car and I was thinking about this, that it bothered me that I didn't like to pray. And I said to God, God, why don't I like to pray? And much to my surprise, He answered me. And He spoke to my heart and He said, because you don't believe it works. Well, if I don't believe that my prayer will produce an outcome with God, then I won't pray. That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of knowing Him. Now, when you pray, it doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in any position whatsoever. You can just sit in your chair, walk down the road, whatever it is, and just talk to God. But don't stop talking. Don't stop praying to God. Keep after God until you get what you desire. Now, let's say that you have a thing with the bank, and the bank has somehow miscalculated your money. How many people would go after the teller or whoever, the workers in the bank, and keep bugging them until they fix the problem? I think most people would. Maybe somebody made a mistake and you've got the evidence and they sold you short by $10,000. How many people would say, it's $10,000, what's the difference? I'm not going to worry about $10,000. But you know, this is how believers treat prayer. You know, I'm not going to worry about prayer. I'm not. You know, the things that we have got from God, the miracles that God performs on our behalf are very frequently brought in prayer. Sometimes people say, well, I wish God would do miracles in my life. I wish God would show me something in my life. Have you prayed? Well, I can't pray because of the state that I'm in. You know, there have been times when I felt totally carnal. There have been times when I felt totally off with God, but I had a need and so I asked Him anyway, and you know He actually answered me? Why? Because I asked. You see, the feeling that you have regarding your spirituality is meaningless. It's usually dependent on some kind of a standard that is not of God, that you are saying, well, I'm not measuring up to this standard right here that I have over here on my side because I'm not really looking at the way that God has established me in grace at the moment, and I'm trying to measure up to this standard and I'm not measuring up, and that's what it's affecting my feelings, and therefore I can't pray. No, just pray. Prayer often produces a love for God in a person's heart. And if the love for God was already present, it often strengthens that love for God. Why? Because you're communing with Him. And so pray without ceasing. In Luke 18, verse 1, the Word of God says, He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that term "to this end" actually means He spoke a parable unto them, and it's an interesting translation. "To this end" is a question whether it's actually even in the original language, but if it is, Robertson says that this means He spoke to them a parable to reveal to them that which is necessary and important. And then the part we do know is that the men ought always to pray and not faint. Ought is the word day, and it means needs, is necessary, has need of, is inevitable in the nature of things. So what he's saying is men have a need and it is necessary in the nature of things, and that need is to pray. So in my life, I don't pray because I have a need per se. I pray because I need to pray. It is necessary for the things in my life. In a manner of speaking, it's kind of like breathing. You breathe because you have to breathe. Well, prayer, we do that because we need prayer. Now, you don't have to pray long prayers, you don't have to pray formal prayers, and you certainly don't have to pray in Old English. Always amazes me how many these and thous you hear. God speaks modern English. God can understand. You know, He even speaks Portuguese. Modern English is a piece of cake for Him. So we can handle praying in modern English. We don't have, "Oh, thou est heavenly fatherest." Est? What does est mean? Thou art so gracious. He knows what he is. You ever hear somebody pray and they're actually preaching to God? You don't need to preach to God when you pray. I mean, can you imagine when you're a little kid and you go to mom and dad and you're thirsty or something? "Oh, mother of my life and being, you are so fair and kind to me. I would beseech you for a glass of ginger ale or Coca-Cola or whatever. Oh, mother, gracious woman in my life." Or would you say, "Mom, I'm thirsty. Can I have something to drink?" Well, you know, believers do the same thing in prayer to God. It's weird. Don't be weird in the way you pray. Just pray. Just talk to Him. "God, this is my desire. God, would you give me this? God, give me this desire, please. God, give me this outcome, please. God, give me this provision. God, you've placed something in my heart. Do this for me, please." This is how you pray. You keep it simple, you keep it sweet. God doesn't need long exercises of preaching. God gives the preaching when the preaching comes. You don't need to preach to Him. He's the source, not us. And so when you pray, recognize that you are entering into a profound need for your life. This is why God always gives us something to pray for. And it's often a need or a vision or a call or something to that effect. Because it motivates us to pray. Then He says, "And faint not," not to faint. And that means literally to not give in to evil, turn coward, lose heart, or behave badly. That's the literal meaning of faint not. Don't give in to evil, don't turn coward, don't lose heart, and don't behave badly. That's fainting. How do I do that? Prayer. I need to pray so that I don't give in to evil, so that I don't turn coward, so that I don't lose heart, and so that I don't behave badly. And by behaving badly, it means that I'm not carnal in my outward expression. And so, this protects me, this prayer protects me from those things. Those things are the things that Satan wants to initiate in our lives. Why? Because giving into evil, that's obvious, that's his government. So that I don't gossip, so that I don't slander, so that I don't malign, so that I don't accuse, so that I don't whisper and backbite. Right? Ministry of the devil. That's the most common expression of evil. Well, it comes because I pray. When I pray, I'm drawing near to God and I won't give in to evil. But I also won't turn coward. In other words, I won't be fearful and then start acting on my fear. That's what a coward is. A coward is someone who makes decisions on the basis of fear. It's not somebody who lacks fear. It's someone who doesn't know the character of God in the midst of that fear to the point where they will decide on the basis of that fear. And so I don't turn coward. I don't make decisions on the basis of what I fear. I don't lose heart. I don't quit. Something's not coming. Something's not happening. I have a vision, but somehow it's not coming together. I have a call, but I haven't entered into it yet. I don't quit. I don't stop. I don't say, "Well, obviously God's not going to do this because after all, it's been 2 years now and God's not going to do it." No, I don't quit because I pray for the outcome. And in praying for the outcome, I actually build my expectation from God. Because I'm focusing on the source of that expectation. And so I actually develop a stronger and stronger conviction about the outcome that God perhaps has promised me or that I'm desiring from Him if it's a need, whatever it is, if it's a call, then it's a promise. Whatever it is, I have a stronger and stronger conviction about the expectation and the fulfillment of that outcome in prayer. And I don't lose heart. I go after things more than ever because I have prayed. And I expect in that prayer from God. My flesh is pushed aside when I'm communing with God in prayer. If you see someone, or if this happens to you, where you're starting to flesh out, my question is, do you pray? Because there are two things that I need to deal with my flesh. I need the Word of God, as initiated to me through anointed preaching by the Holy Spirit. And I need prayer. I need that individual communion with God. In other words, I need time with God. I need to give Him time, because that prayer time is what allows the Holy Spirit to minister to my heart, to impart His love, His character, and His life to my heart. And so I pray without ceasing so that I can continue living a Spirit-filled life. See, somebody who's got a lot of emotional problems, and I'm not talking about the organic kind. I'm not talking, when I say these things, I'm not talking about organic causes. But you see somebody with a lot of emotional problems or psychological problems. You see somebody who's got a lot of fretting in their life, bitterness, anger, what have you. I guarantee you that person does not, at that time at least, have a rich prayer life. Because they're not drawing near to God, and so these elements of their flesh are popping up where Satan and the world system and other things can attack them. We pray so that we live a Spirit-filled life. And it is essential to our lives. Now, I didn't say it had to be formal. I didn't say it had to be tremendously prolonged. I didn't say any of that. I just said, pray. Just pray. Well, I'm somebody who doesn't have a real big capacity in prayer. And I can't handle it for too long. My mind wanders. I find it a little boring. Well, if you can pray for 2 minutes, then pray for 2 minutes. Just pray. If that's all you can do, then that's what you have to start with, and start there. Just pray. And do it without stopping. In other words, do it all the time. Do it every day. As you're driving in your car and you just have a 2 minute capacity, speak to God in your heart. When you get up in the morning, speak to God in your heart. At lunch, speak to God in your heart. Somebody comes and asks you a question, speak to God. It takes 2 seconds. Speak to God. God, give me the answer. Speak to God in your heart and pray. And constantly stay tapped into the source that you have for your life. Because that comes only through prayer. If I'm not asking God, then He's not answering. That's the problem. He answers when I ask. He's not rude. He answers when I ask. So ask. In James 4:2, in the B part of the verse, if you don't ask, you don't receive. Simple as that. Ye have not because you ask not. Now that ask there, for ask not, is a present middle infinitive. Present tense is you continuously are not asking me. You're not praying without ceasing. And so you have not. But the interesting thing there is the middle voice. You're the one who's producing the action of not praying, not asking. And you're receiving the benefit of not asking, the result of it. And so because you haven't asked, you haven't received. The cause was your lack of asking. You didn't continually ask, and therefore you continue to not receive. That's what he's saying there. So ask Him. Whatever it is, ask Him. In Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. Now, for everyone that asks, present, active, participle. Continuous action. Subject produces the action of the verb. For everyone who continuously keeps asking, that person will receive. And that receive me is present, active, and infinitive. The person who asks will receive. Now, present tense. Continuously receive. Active voice. Subject produces the action of the verb. You're the subject. You actually produce the receiving. How did you produce the receiving? By asking. So what you have here is an inseparable connection between asking and receiving. That means everyone who continues to ask will continue to receive. It's a present tense. They started receiving when they started asking. How many people have asked and they've received? Even simple things. God, give me the answer. There it was. Happened last week. I didn't know the answer right off the top. I didn't know. Wow, took me by surprise a little bit. So I asked and I got an answer. You asked me. What's the difference between the presence of God and an anointing? Honestly, I didn't know at the moment. So I asked God, God, what's the difference between the presence of God and an anointing? And He said, the anointing is unto an action. The presence of God is simply His presence. Well, the Holy Spirit defined something for me that I couldn't answer you at then, but I knew how to ask and I knew how to receive because I knew how to ask. And the Holy Spirit says, the difference between it is the anointing is unto an action. That's literally what He said. The anointing is unto an action. Well, there I knew it. I didn't know that before, but then I knew it. Now, I wasn't afraid of the question, very simply why? Because I knew I could ask somebody and find out, and the somebody I could ask lives in me, and He's the Holy Spirit, and He knew it. And I knew that He knew it. So I asked Him, and I received. The funny thing was, I was really tired that day. I didn't feel particularly spiritual. I just knew that somebody had a question, and because they had a question, God desired to give them an answer. And I knew that if I asked them, the answer would come. So I asked. I remember praying for a car. I said, God, I need a reliable car. At the time, I was driving to Washington every day. An hour drive. I need each direction. I need a reliable car. And I want it for this much money, and I want it to be this kind of car, and I want it to have this color, because I like this color on that car. I specifically, it was green. It was one of those green Civics. But we didn't have the money for a new one. We had barely any money at all. But I want a Civic because they're supposed to be reliable and they're good cars. And I want a leather interior. I don't want a cloth interior. I want a leather interior. And I want it to get so many miles a gallon. And I want it to be green. Now, green is easy because a lot of those were green. But nevertheless, and I want it for this price. You know what? That's what I got. And I wanted to have this many miles on it, because I'm not going to buy something new and it loses, what, half its value almost when it drive it off the lot or whatever it is. And I got exactly what I asked for. I ask for things for free sometimes. People tell me, you're not going to get it for free. I said, sure I am. Of course I'll get it for free. If I ask God, He'll give it to me. God, I want this for free. I may not get it tomorrow, but I'll get it eventually. And sure enough, He comes through every single time. You know, I've never seen a time when I've prayed for something that God didn't come through, when I've prayed without stopping, without ceasing. Times when I've prayed and stopped, I've seen God not answer. But when I have prayed and did not stop praying, I've never seen a time when God would not answer. And I'm not saying name it, claim it. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Everyone who prays and continues to do so will also produce the action of receiving because they have prayed, and they will receive the benefit of their prayer. In Isaiah 45 and verse 11, when Israel was complaining against God, God said to them this, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands. Command you me. Command me the works of our hands." Don't you find it interesting that he says command? He didn't say put in your request. He didn't say come in fear and trembling and you know, see if I hear you. He says, command me the works of my hand. God, I belong to you. I'm blood bought. I'm yours. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm your bride. I'm your son. This is what I desire. Please give this to me. And I ask, if you will, God, if you're willing, if this is within your will for little old, useless, meaningless, insignificant little old me, if you would be so good, I know you're busy, but if you could take time out of your super busy schedule and just look at this little puny speck of dust, that's not what he said there. He said, command me the works of my hand. In other words, boldly ask. And boldly expect. Well, I don't know if that's something I can ask God for. Really? Where's that written in the Bible? Ask Him, except for those things where you're not sure that you can ask Him God for, because after all, He might be offended, or He might kind of see you as being funny, or He may misunderstand what you're saying. Don't ask those things. No. Boldly come to God and ask. Command Him. You come to God. You know why? Because that kind of boldness is actually humility. You're simply standing on the promises of God. And you're bold in the promises. And so you command God. God, you said it. Make it so. And you command Him the works of your hand. Of His hand. You command Him the works of His hand. God puts such an emphasis on prayer because He wants us to pray. You see, we have this thing. Sometimes we don't ask because we don't see it as possible. We don't see, God, I don't see how in the world God could ever do this for me. You see, these are the circumstances. I don't know how in the world God could ever answer that prayer in these circumstances. I don't know how, like, this is my life. I don't know how God would ever answer it according to the way my life is. Well, yeah, you may not know that because for you it's impossible. But the Word of God says in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And so don't worry about the circumstances that you're praying under or the seeming impossibility of it. If it wasn't impossible for you, then there would be no need to pray. God wouldn't say pray without ceasing. God would just say go out and do it. But you pray because it is impossible for you. Apart from God, in John 15:5, I can do nothing. So don't worry about the fact that apart from Him you can do nothing. That's a given. That's not an obstacle. That's the condition of your life. The condition of your life is not an obstacle. It's a defined reality. No, it's not you that is going to be doing anything. It's God who you're asking that will produce it. But your asking will result in an answer. So ask. Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. Now what He says there in John 15 is, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What is it that prayer does? Prayer plugs me into the vine. That's what prayer does. Prayer is my connection to the vine. That's where I become fruitful, in prayer. That's where things happen, in prayer. Why? Because I'm plugged into the vine. I'm grafted into the vine. And so long as I'm being grafted into the vine, I'm going to receive the life and the fruit and the outcome of being in that vine. And so I can ask Him what I will, because I am experiencing the life of God, because I am part of that vine as a branch, I can ask Him what I will, and I will receive what I have asked. So in prayer, I'm connecting to the source. I'm connecting to God. Because apart from Him, I really can do nothing. But all things are possible through Christ, through the vine. All things are possible for God, though pretty much everything is impossible for man, except for a small handful of things that he's going to mess up when he tries them. So I don't have to worry about it. Never look at the circumstances under which you are praying. Just pray. And trust God for the circumstances. He's capable of dealing with the circumstances. You just pray. That's your part. We sometimes tend to worry about things that aren't given to us to worry about. Just pray. In Luke 18:7, and this is after 18:1, and in between there we have the parable of the unrighteous judge, where the widow was looking for the judge to vindicate her, and because she nagged him, he did. And then in verse 7, the Word of God says, "And will not our just God," and I'm reading in the Amplified, "will not our just God defend and protect and avenge His elect, His chosen ones, who cry to Him day and night? Will He defer them and delay help on their behalf?" This is what the Savior was asking. God is not going to defer or delay. And the only reason why you're asked to wait is to build capacity, to build trust, to establish timing, so that you can actually receive what you have asked. Never stop praying. Because when you pray, Jesus is saying you're going to get an answer. And the only reason why you don't get the answer is because you didn't pray. You stopped. You didn't continue. It wasn't a continuous action. It was a momentary action that ended. He says, pray until you get the answer. And keep praying. Don't stop. Just keep praying. Because if you don't stop, you'll receive. And then He'll give you something new to pray for. Amen?